We thank you, Lord, for this Bible class tonight. Lord, we ask that you, hallelujah, just bless us. Reveal yourself to us, oh God. Speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, have your way today. We thank you, Lord, for everyone on the call. We thank you, oh God, for every family represented, oh God. We ask that you meet every need in abundance and then give them super abundantly above in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the team. We thank you, Lord, for all those who in some way, somehow have added to the magnificence of Bible study. We praise and we magnify your name. We glorify your name. We honor your name. Father God, we do thank you for spiritual authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Satan, the Lord God, rebuke you and your satanic cohorts. We curse you from the root and command you to rebound in Jesus' name. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the harvest of the good seed sown tonight. We thank you, Lord, for 30, 60, 100-fold, even a 1,000-fold increase in blessing. And again, we give you the glory and we give you the honor and we give you the praise. We bless your name today in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We have some breaking and major news today about the next semester of the Institute of Biblical Learning. Number one, there will be no term papers or term projects in the next semester. Number two, all home assignments, quizzes, and tests will be virtual. In other words, you will not have to turn in anything. It all will be virtual on the phone. So we thank God for that realization. Again, let me reiterate, there will be no term papers or term projects in the next semester, which will begin, hallelujah, the first Tuesday in February. And all home assignments, quizzes, and tests will be virtual. In other words, they will be on the phone. They will be oral. No trying to get a paper in, trying to figure out if you're going to mail it in, you're going to pick up from this person or that person or whatever. All of the assignments will be virtual. There ought to be at least one or two hallelujahs in the background.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. So I just wanted to share that with all of you, that it will indeed be 100% virtual the next semester. So that's awesome. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, we want to start a new series. We're today talking about the nine types of prayer. And some of you were on morning worship and you heard me list them. I'm going to list them again. The nine types of prayer. A prayer petition or praise. Prayer of agreement, prayer of supplication, prayer of dedication or consecration, the prayer of praise, thanksgiving, and worship, the casting your cares upon him, prayer, upon God, prayer. Thank you, Lord. Prayer of unity or corporate prayer, the prayer of intercession, and praying in the spirit. I want to give you a name. I've given this name to you before. His name is Neal Reyes, N-E-A-L. It's a first name, which actually means champion. And his last name is Reyes, or Reyes, R-E-Y-E-S, Reyes. You can find him on the web, NeilReyes.com or on your YouTube and a channel or Facebook channel. Hallelujah. We have three of his videos about types of prayer. We're going to play the first one, which is about 12 to 15 minutes, after which we'll have a five-minute time for questions, answers, and comments. Pastor Peaches is going to be our timer. And then we'll do the second one, and then 5 minutes between that. And then the last one, and time permitting, we'll deal with all the questions and answers and comments. Hallelujah. Okay, if everyone's ready, here we go.
Ready.
Today's topic that we're going to be discussing is called types of prayer. Again, today's topic that we're discussing is called types of prayer. In our intro, one of the things I talked about is that one of the greatest weapons we've been given as a believer is the ability to pray. However, how you pray and what you pray are extremely significant as to whether or not your prayers will get answered. Years ago, I remember hearing a teacher speaking. It was actually Kenneth Copeland. And as I was listening to this teaching, man, when he said this statement, it just rung so loud. And one of the things he was talking about was how to get your prayers answered and why people don't get their prayers answered. I will tell you, it rang loud and true because it was something that the Lord was beginning to show me at the time. And as he showed me that, man, I got to tell you that since that, I've learned so much from it. There are different reasons why people don't get their prayers answered. And yes, I will agree that sometimes there are things that we prayed for in life that as time goes on and we didn't get it, we're so grateful we did. And some people might be think like, well, what did you pray for that you were glad you didn't get? Well, for different people, it's different. Sometimes you hear about people who maybe it's the guy, and he was praying for a very specific girl that he knew, and he was just convinced that should be his wife. But they didn't work out. Or you take the girl, and she was praying for a guy that she just absolutely thought was supposed to be her husband, but didn't work out. And later on, as time went by, they met someone else, and as they reflect back on their past, they recognize that they are so grateful for an unanswered prayer. They've even made songs about that. But what I'm going to tell you is that when we pray, you should never lob a prayer casually over the fence. You should never pray casually in a manner. When we pray, we first of all have to understand what it is we're doing. What we are doing is we are taking a direct request. We're taking it directly to the Father, and we're doing it through Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross for us and he rose again, it tells us that he rose and ascended to be at the right hand of the Father. When he did that, he sent his Holy Spirit down to us as the comforter and as our lead and our guide. In fact, it tells us the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us in all truth. But when we pray, we're to pray in the name of Jesus, and the reason why is because he is our supernatural intercessor. He takes whatever you've prayed, and he puts it together, and he turns around. If he needs to correct something, he will, and he presents it to the Father. But when we pray, you know, sometimes you'll hear people say the phrase, well, all you can do now is pray. And I will tell you that even though people say that at times, I will tell you prayer is the first thing you should do as a believer. Sometimes you'll have people say, you know, maybe it has to deal with health issues. Maybe they've been given a bad report from the doctor and they're struggling with some health issues, and they'll turn around and they'll go through all their treatments, and you'll hear them lean back later and say, well, all you can do now is pray. Or you'll have someone go through maybe something struggling like in a marriage or in a relationship. Or maybe they turn around and they have an issue with finances, a real strong issue with finances. And they'll turn around and say, well, all I can do now is pray. I will tell you that if that is your viewpoint, that all you can do is pray, then you haven't discovered the power of prayer. And you haven't discovered your authority as a believer and how you can leverage or use prayer to your advantage. I will tell you that that's why we're doing this teaching today. It's not to chastise anybody or bring reproof. It is to bring education and awareness to the believer so that they understand how to pray. That being said, I want to read to you a couple things. The first point I want to make to you is that there are different reasons why people don't get their prayers answered. In fact, there's two specific reasons I can tell you right now that there are reasons why people don't get their prayers answered. The first one is that they aren't praying the right thing, or they aren't praying in the right way. Later on, we're going to go over the different types of prayer that they are, and I will tell you that prayer is very specific. If you're praying the wrong kind of prayer for the need you have, you'll never get that prayer answered the way you want because you're praying in an incorrect manner. I guess another way to explain it is there are rules to prayer, or there are rules around prayer. The other thing, and I heard Brother Kenneth Copeland say this years ago, and when he said it, it's like it set off a ringing in my spirit. And as I went before the Lord, he showed me it, and I'm going to tell you it has been true. And it is something that fed me, and I'm so grateful for Kenneth Copeland and his wife Gloria and their ministry. In fact, I'll tell you, I see them as spiritual grandparents in the faith. They are such a blessing to the body of Christ. I heard him say one time that the reason why people don't get their prayers answered is because they're doing or saying or praying the right thing, they're just not doing it enough. You know, one of the things you'll hear me say from time to time, especially when I'm teaching on leadership or success, is that consistency is the key to success. Consistency is the key to success. And he was talking about that when people don't get their prayers answered, oftentimes it's because they're doing the right thing, they're just not doing it enough. You know, when people are desperate or they have an urgent prayer need, they'll go to their prayer closet or before the Lord and pray, and they're hungry for it. And when it's a strong need and they need something big, they'll pray for it. Or if it's a strong desire of their heart or want, they'll pray for it. And then a couple of days go by and they're still praying for it, but maybe after a week, they're only doing it once in a while. Maybe after a couple weeks or a month, they're only doing it once a month. After a few months, maybe they only do it once a year, you know, and over time, it's something that they begin to casually do. There's a teaching I did earlier in the year, and one of the things I talked about is that if it's worth praying for, it should be worth waiting for. And I'm going to say that again. If you haven't connected with that teaching, go back and watch it because it has some good stuff. If you're praying for something, if it's worth praying for, it should also be worth waiting for. Now, one of the other things I want to share with you is how to pray. The first thing for you to know is that when you're praying, you always are to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. If you don't believe me, go look it up in the Word. Those words came out of Jesus' mouth himself. In fact, he told them that at this point he's talking to the disciples, and he said, so far you haven't asked of me anything, but that he was going to go to the Father. And he said that anything you ask him or in his name, he would not withhold from you, or that anything you ask the Father in the name of Jesus, that he would not withhold from you. So the first thing you got to do is understand you're to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. That's the correct way. You don't pray to Jesus. You pray to the Father using the name or in the name of Jesus. The second thing you have to understand is that after you have prayed, you then give thanks. Why? Because you are stepping out in faith and you are believing that when you have asked for something, that you have received something. It tells us in the book of James that you have not because you ask not. When you ask for something, you must believe you have received it. And how do you believe or show that you received it and that you believe you received it? You do it through thanksgiving. You thank the Lord continually. I remember talking with a girl years and years ago, and she was telling me that she had learned from her pastor, and this is years and years ago. And this is a good girl. She was an employee of mine at the time, and she had told me that at the time her pastor told her that you were supposed to ask and keep on asking. And I think the reason why she got that was because in the NLT, the New Living Translation, it translated that you're to ask and keep asking. And I said, sister, I'm sorry, but that's not correct. And she goes, oh, yes, it is. My pastor said so. And I said, well, I'm not going to contradict your pastor or tell you that he's wrong. I'm not going to do that to a man of God. But what I will tell you is that in the scripture, it tells us that you're to ask and then thank therefore. Why? Because if you're always asking and asking and asking, where is the faith in that? You're to ask once and believe you received, and then you're to thank him that you've already received. And it's not, oh, Lord, please give me this, or can I please have this, and then thank you that I received it. No, you're supposed to shout. I mean, if you were believing for that new home that you need for you and your children or for you and your family, and the Lord were to bless you, if someone came to you and gave you keys in your home, you would shout and jump up and down. Well, the moment you're supposed to shout up and jump up and down is right after you've prayed, because in faith, you've already received it. And I will tell you that in the faith, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. And many times the way we call things into the natural is by seeing it with our mind's eye first before anyone around us can see it as well. That's what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. The next thing I want to talk to you about are the different types of prayer. Now, the one thing I want to go into at this point is I want to share with you that when I was before the Lord on what to teach, he showed me he wanted us to break this out into a two-week study. So for the next 10 days, today being day one, for the next 10 days, we're going to study the different types of prayer. And we're going to discuss the specific use of each prayer. We're going to talk about how to do it. And we're going to talk about the differences so that going forward, when you have a need or a desire within your life, you will know how to pray correctly to the Father in the name of Jesus, leveraging the correct type of prayer. These are the 9 different types of prayer we're going to be covering over the next 10 days. And to remember, today's day one. So over the next 10 days, these are the 9 different types of prayer we're going to cover. We're going to cover the prayer of petition, sometimes referred to as the prayer of faith. We're going to cover the prayer of agreement. We're going to cover the prayer of supplication. We're going to cover the prayer of dedication or consecration. We're going to cover the prayer of praise, thanksgiving, and worship. We're going to cover the prayer of casting your cares on the Lord. We're going to cover united prayer. We're going to, or sometimes that's referred to as corporate prayer. We're also going to turn around and cover prayer of intercession. And we're going to cover praying in the Spirit, or what's often referred to as praying in tongues. Guys, I want to invite you to stay with us and get plugged in as we journey into the different types of prayer, how to pray correctly, and when to use these different types of prayer. I will tell you that every time I've taught on this subject before any type of a crowd or you know, group of people, they have come to me afterwards and just told me that it opened their eyes. And I will tell you that in addition to that, they sometimes come up to me years later and told me about how the specific prayer we taught them helped their situation so much. Because sometimes, like I said, it's about how you pray and what you're praying for. The manner in which you pray or the thing in which you pray, how you're praying for that makes such a big impact. Guys, as always, we want to turn around and thank you for stopping by today to grow with us. We want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com, where you can find all of our teaching resources. You can stream them on there 24 hours a day at no cost. In addition to that, we want to remind you to catch up with us or connect with us on our social media. You can find us on our YouTube channel, on our Facebook page, or you can find us on Twitter, where we also post our teachings to be streamed 24 hours a day at no cost. Guys, we want to thank you for taking the time to stop by. As always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you and have a blessed day.
Power off.
All right. All right, Pastor Peaches, if you would say, hit the timer, and the floor is open for you to ask questions, make comments, whatever, while I key up the next teaching.
All right. Yes, Pastor Bird, could we have the 9 types of prayer again, please, slowly?
Okay. All right. Hold on just a second. 9 types of prayer. The first one is prayer petition or faith. The second one is a prayer of agreement. The third one is a prayer of supplication.
And y'all need to slow down to say, whoa.
Well, if you need to slow down, yes, say, whoa. Don't call me Nelly. You can call me Earl, but
Don't call you late for dinner. I got you.
Right.
That's right.
Okay, again, the first one is prayer petition or faith. The second one is prayer of agreement. And you often abbreviate, by the way, too. Okay. The next one is prayer of supplication. That's number three. Number four is prayer of dedication or consecration. Okay, the next one is prayer of praise, thanksgiving, and worship. Okay, the next one is casting your cares upon the Lord prayer. Hallelujah.
There's another word for that, too. What is it? Cast your care or something.
Cast your care upon the Lord. I don't know.
He gave you something else to go, but you could call cast your care. That's all right. Go ahead.
Okay, upon the Lord. I think you might be thinking about the next one, which is united prayer or corporate prayer.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Okay. That's united prayer or corporate prayer. And then, intercessory prayer and praying in the spirit. I'm going to go over those nine again so you know. Okay, it's prayer petition or faith, prayer of agreement, prayer of supplication, prayer of dedication or consecration. Prayer of praise, thanksgiving, and worship. Casting your cares upon the Lord prayer. United prayer or corporate prayer. Intercessory prayer. And praying in the spirit.
Hallelujah.
You're welcome. Okay. How many more minutes we have, Pastor Pieces?
Wait a minute. Let me look at this.
Bluetooth pairing.
How many minutes?
Bluetooth.
2 minutes. Anybody else have a question? Or comment? All right. Praise the Lord. Jesus is
Lord.
Okay. And let me know when we're ready, Pastor Bisha.
Sir.
Say, let me know when time's up.
I said yes, sir.
Oh, you said yes, sir. Oh, okay.
Just a few more seconds.
Today's topic that we're going to be speaking about is called prayer of petition. Again, today's topic that we're speaking about is called prayer of petition. In yesterday's teaching, we started to talk about the different types of prayer, and we listed 9 types of prayer that we're going to be going over within the next 10 days. That'll be this week and next week. Today, we're going to be starting with what's referred to or known as the prayer of petition. I will also tell you that sometimes this is also referred to as the prayer of faith. This is a specific prayer that is shown to us in the Word that brings specific results. One of the things we talked about previously is that when people turn around and pray and they don't get the results that they're looking for, sometimes it's because they're not praying in the correct way. Now, yes, there are times, and it tells us specifically in God's Word, that when we pray, when it lines up according to God's will, He answers or hears our prayers. But I will tell you that other times, just because your prayers are not being answered in the manner in which you like, or with the response or quickness per se that maybe you'd hope for, that sometimes it's based on the fact that you're not praying correctly. Now, I'm not going to tell you that by praying this prayer, things are going to happen like that. The fact is, we have another teaching we did back in the past, and what we talked about was that if it's worth praying for, it should also be worth waiting for. I'm going to say that again, because when the Lord told me that statement, I felt it was a profound statement that he needed his people to hear. When we pray for something, it should also be worth waiting for it. If it's worth praying for, it should also be worth waiting for. So today we're going to talk about the prayer petition. Now, we talked about previously that there are rules to prayer or how prayer operates and works. And we're going to be covering 9 specific prayer topics, but we're going to be starting with this one today, which is the prayer petition or prayer of faith. First question that's usually asked is, what is a prayer petition? Well, I'm going to tell you, and we're going to show you later specifically exactly how to do it, but this is a prayer where you find a promise in God's word that meets or speaks to your situation you're going through or the need or want that you have, and you turn around and you present it back to God. And there's a specific manner or rules, I should say, how you do it, but we're going to teach you exactly how that's done. Some key things to know about this type of prayer and all the prayers you do, but specifically this one especially. I shouldn't say specific, but especially this one. When we pray, we're to ask God once, and then we believe and thank him. This is not something that you pray over and over and over. This is something that you pray for once, and then you thank him. And you believe for it, and you thank him, and you thank him continually until what you have prayed for has manifested in the physical or in the natural. The other thing I want to tell you, and I heard this spoken by a gentleman who I consider to be a spiritual uncle in the faith. His name is Jerry Savelle, and I heard him teach on this years ago. In fact, he has a great book on the prayer petition. He has great resources on it. And one of the things that he talked about was that this is the quickest way to receive an answer to prayer that he has found over his lifetime. I think he's been in ministry for like 40 years. I may have that wrong. It might be a little, it may be longer, it may be less, but I think it's at least like 40 years. This is a gentleman who started very early on with Kenneth Copeland and his ministries. My wife and I are blessed to watch them. We try to make it to the Southwest Believers Convention every year in Fort Worth, and these are people that we go out of our way to listen to because they sow so much into us when they speak. And when I heard him speak about this years ago, I was like, prayer petition, what is that? And man, I grabbed onto that, and I will tell you that I've used it more than once. A prayer petition is when you go before the Lord again and present God's promises to him. Now, we're going to jump right into this, and so I want to get right into the word, and I'm going to give you some scriptures that you can write down, and of course, you can go back and pause it or rewind it, do whatever you need to with this video, but I'm going to give you some scriptures, and these are scriptures that you should mark down and keep in your prayer journals and hang on to throughout the course of our 2 weeks, but also going forward. The verses I want to read to you are these, and they should pop up on the screen for you. You need to mark down, or I would recommend you mark down Mark 11:24. John 16:23-24, 1 John 5:14-15, 2 Corinthians 1:20, Philippians 4:19, and then the last three actually talk about what the prayer of faith is or the prayer petition. That's James 5:15, Philippians 4:6, and Colossians 4:2. So that being said, let's jump right into the word. The first 5 scriptures we're going to read are what I call bedrock or foundational scriptures. These are scriptures that help build confidence so that when you go and pray before God, you know that you have the confidence or the ability that you've been given the spiritual legal access or right to pray before him. Let's get right into it. The first one we're going to read is Mark 11:24. It says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. John 16:23-24. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. And that particular verse, that was Jesus talking to his disciples, and he was with them. So he had told them that at that point they hadn't had to ask anything. They haven't had to ask anything in his name up to that point because he was with them. But he was telling them that when he went on to be with the Father, that anything they asked the Father in his name would be given to them and that their joy would be full and it would be complete. Let's continue reading. The next one's John, 5:14-15. 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have received what we asked of him. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you about that. It says in the scripture that when we ask anything according to his will, one of the things I've taught in other prayer sessions is that sometimes why people are not getting their prayers answered is because they're not praying about the right thing. Before you go into prayer, sometimes you have to ask God, what is it you need me to seek you or pray for? And then you can get what it is you're hoping to receive. That's a real key important thing. I want to make that known. Let's keep on reading. We're going to go right into 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. This is where you hear the scripture, all his promises are yes and amen. In fact, there's a great song out there. One of the songs I like to sing when I'm in my praise and worship time before the Lord is by Bethel Music, and it's yes and amen. All his promises are yes and amen. I know what you're thinking. I should jump on the voice because I sing so good. But yes and amen. All his promises are yes and amen. Praise God. Next scripture, Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs. Everybody say all. All your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, the next three scriptures we're going to cover, these actually talk and mention about the prayer of faith or the prayer of petition, and I want to read them to you. First one's James 5:15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, what I told you earlier is that a prayer, a petition, or prayer of faith is finding a promise in God's word, and you are going to present that back to him. I'm going to show you how to do that in a minute. But it says right here in God's word in James 5:15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. It also said that their sins would be forgiven. If you are sick or you know anyone who's sick, this is a direct promise from God. A direct spiritual law, a promise from God that states that the prayer of faith would save the sick, meaning all you have to do is find at least just one scripture. You don't need bunches, but you need at least one scripture that says that God has promised to heal you, and you present it back to him in a prayer of faith or prayer petition along with James 5, and you simply say, you promised me that the prayer of faith would save the sick. So I'm presenting my prayer petition or my prayer of faith back to you. Healing is a guarantee from God. It's guaranteed from God to receive healing. That's what we can do, and if we stand on his word. But sometimes people don't receive healing. Why is that? Well, we'll talk about that in other teachings, but I will tell you that when someone doesn't receive a healing, it's not because God didn't want to heal them. It's not because God couldn't heal them. It actually has to do with their ability to receive, not God's ability to perform. Let's keep on reading. The next one's Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We're going to come back to that in a second, but I want to read you one more. Colossians 4:2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So you're going to continue steadfastly in prayer after you've prayed the prayer of faith or prayer petition, and you're going to be watchful in it. In other words, you're going to keep it in front of you. Habakkuk 2:2 says to write the vision and make it plain. When we write a prayer petition, we're keeping it plain and we're keeping it in front of us. We're not continuing to pray it over and over, but we're being watchful over it so we know what to expect because we're not forgetting what we prayed about, and we're in thanksgiving constantly. We're constantly thanking the Lord in faith that we've received it. Let's go back to Philippians 4:6, and I'm going to tell you how to write a prayer petition. It says Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious. In other words, don't worry about anything, but in everything, say everything,
everything.
In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So he gave us three things. He said by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So here is how you write a prayer petition. And I'm going to tell you that, like I said, I heard Jerry Savelle say it, and I believe it with him. This is the quickest way to see results to prayer within your life. I've also heard other pastors talk about it as well, and I'm telling you it's important. A prayer petition is simply this. It's when you take out a piece of paper, or you type something up and print it out to sign, or you turn around and you get a note card or something like that. I know the pastor where I go to church at, he turns around and he talks about this, and he has some great examples about this, where he's taking a note card and he writes it. And what I'm going to tell you about that, his name is Dr. Theo Womerans. If you want to know who he is, he's from Christian Family Church, and it's Dr. Theo Womerans, great, great man of God. So this is what you do. You turn around and you take your paper or you type it up or your card, and what you do, and you take time on this. You don't just whip this out. You take time on this. You write out specifically the prayer you are asking God, whatever need it is you have, whatever desire, because it doesn't just have to be needs. I mean, maybe you've been really desiring that new Harley-Davidson motorcycle, you know, the Harley-Davidson motorcycle that you can go fellowship with God on, because that's just a desire of your heart. That's okay to put on this, okay? Maybe it's the new home. Maybe it's your kids going to private school. You know, maybe it's getting into college or going back to school, or, you know, that raise at your job. Whatever it is, you take your petition and you write it down. You write out your prayer. And then you find scriptures that go with it, and you mark those scriptures down. It's the promises of God that you're marking that says you can have that above. Now, if you're like, well, I'm believing my college tuition's paid, but I don't see where it says college tuition paid in the Bible, find the scripture that talks about that. I mean, you could put something like, you know, my father owns cattle on 1,000 hills. Paying college tuition is no big deal for him. It's a drop in the bucket. I mean, you could put down whatever you want. All my needs are met according to his riches and glory. I mean, you just put find a promise in God's word and write it down. So you write your prayer out, your petition of what it is. This is your petition. You're building your petition. You write your prayer out, what it is, your need or desire that you want, or, you know, whatever it is. You then turn around and you write the scripture to go with it. You date it, and you sign it, and you go before God, and you present it before him. Isaiah 55:11 tells us that the words that we speak, the words that God has spoken, cannot return to him void. They have to accomplish exactly what he said they would accomplish. So you turn around, and based on Philippians 4:6 or James 5:15, you take that prayer petition, and you present it back to him, and you say, Father God, and you pray over it. You say, this is my prayer, that you meet this need or that you meet this want, desire, whatever it is. And I'm standing on your prayer principle, your promise principle, that your promises state in the word that you've already provided this for me. And you present those promises back to him. And you say, and now I've asked you on this date, I signed it, and I'm going to keep it in front of me. And now that I have asked, I believe that I've received, and I'm going to thank you therefore. And that is how you write a prayer petition or a prayer of faith. And then you keep that paper that you wrote, whether it's a notebook or whatever, or the thing that you typed up on the computer and then dated and signed it, or whether if it's a little note card, a flash card that you keep in your wallet or your purse or on your mirror, wherever you keep it, at your desk at work, whatever. But you turn around, and I will tell you, this isn't something you share with others. It's something you keep private. And then you turn around, and you be watchful over that, just like it talks about in Colossians 4:2. You be watchful over that, and you stay in thanksgiving until what's on that card manifests in the natural. And you believe that when you pray over it, you've already received it. You can't turn around and just be kind of lobbing a prayer like, I think I've got this. You have to know that you know that based on his promises, you've already received what you've written down. Guys, I hope you found this teaching encouraging today. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com, where you can check out all of our teaching resources. You can stream them 24 hours a day from our website. We also invite you to connect with us on our social media, on our YouTube channel, our Facebook page, or on Twitter. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Power off.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Pastor Peaches, if you would start the timer, the prayer petition,
yes.
Prayer of faith. Any questions? Any comments? Well, I'm going to make
it.
Go ahead.
It seems too simple to be, too good to be true. He said, actually, write it down, find scripture. It's almost like, God, you said it.
Mm-hmm.
And you wait and believe it. When you believe, and you thank him, and then you just wait.
Amen. And one of the things he said is that what if it's worth praying for, it's worth waiting for.
Worth waiting for.
And on Sunday, we're going to give out some index cards. Pastor Peace, do we have an index card?
Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to do that. We're going to do that. We're going to write what we're asking the Lord for. We got to make sure that, number one, that we're writing our requests to God in Jesus, to his glory, so that it's his will. Because an 8-year-old writes a prayer request that they want a Lamborghini to drive. That may not be in God's will, because her feet might not even be able to hit the pedal. So definitely we're going to do that. And on the back, we're going to put the scriptures that pertain. If we don't know it at that time, we'll find them. And then we'll date and sign that. But we're going to do that on Sunday. Pastor Peters, if this young man forgets, please remind him. About getting the index card.
You said this young man, who are you talking about? I'm talking about who?
You are a comedian, you know. That's so funny. In fact, you ought to be on stage. In fact, if you're right now, one's leaving town at 11 o'clock. That was supposed to be funny, too. Nobody's laughing. Okay. Well, key up the last teaching for today. Hold on. Any more questions? How many minutes we got left?
We got about three.
I thought you went to cook a hot dog.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Power on.
Praise him. Jesus is Lord.
All right, we got one in the house. How many minutes, Pastor?
This thing wasn't doing it. I thought it was supposed to be.
Oh, all you have to do is tell your cell phone, says, create an alarm for 5 minutes, and it automatically set it for 5 minutes.
2 more minutes, Pastor.
Two more minutes. Any more comments or questions about prayer, petition, or faith? And hopefully you got those scriptures. So I'm glad you went through them twice.
Mm-hmm. Anybody? Did everybody write them down? It was Mark 4.
Yes.
I mean, Mark 11:24.
Mark 11.
Mm-hmm. Mark 11:24. John 16:23. 1 John 5:14. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Philippians 4:19. James 5:15. Philippians 4:6. In Colossians 4:2.
Isn't she just fantastic? Thank you,
Pastor. You know it. You got papers on her.
Praise the Lord. Are y'all learning anything?
Oh, yeah.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
The power we have in prayer.
Amen.
And a lot of the things I believe we've been doing all along, but never knew that there was a title to it, or knew that it was called something. Because we've always said, okay, tell God what he said, give him back his word, find a scripture to go with what you're believing for, and stand on it.
Mm-hmm.
And what one key thing that he says, because a lot of people keep doing it, they ask and keep asking and keep asking. You ask one time, but you thank him. Because when you thank him, you're standing in faith. Keep asking and asking, you're standing in doubt. Now, maybe maybe he was busy. He missed what I was saying. No, you got to – you ask him one time, but you thank him again and again and again and again and again.
Until it manifests.
Until it manifests. Hallelujah. Not just every once in a while, but consistently, every day. Glory to God.
Ready, Pastor?
Okay. Praise God.
Today's topic that we're going to be speaking about is called Prayer of Agreement. Again, today's topic that we're speaking about is called Prayer of Agreement. This week and next week, we're going over different types of prayer, and today we're covering the Prayer of Agreement. In yesterday's teaching, we covered the prayer of petition, or what is sometimes referred to as the prayer of faith, and today we're covering the prayer of agreement. So let's just jump right in and see what it is. The first question we have is, what is a prayer of agreement? A prayer of agreement is often touted within churches where they'll say that, you know, when two or more of you stand in agreement with each other, something shall be done for you or you shall receive it. But how do we do that? And how do we back that up in Scripture, and what exactly does that look like? Well, I'm going to tell you that if you didn't watch yesterday's teaching, I encourage you, either after this teaching or now, go back and watch it and then come back to this one. But you do need to watch it. And the reason why, a prayer of agreement is the same exact thing as the prayer of faith. The only difference is that when you're saying a prayer of faith, it's only one person who's praying it. When you say a prayer of agreement, you have two or more people standing in agreement on a prayer of faith. So a prayer of agreement is the same exact thing as a prayer of faith. It's just that two or more people are standing in agreement on it. That being said, there's a couple things you need to know. The first one is that when you're praying a prayer of agreement, before you go to pray it, everyone who's praying must be in complete agreement. I will also tell you that this is not united prayer or corporate prayer. We'll be covering that next week. But this is a prayer usually among two to three people. Now, yes, it can be more than that, but usually you limit it to two to three people. And then I'll explain reasons on united prayer or corporate prayer why that is. But typically we want to limit this to just a couple people. Now, when you pray a prayer of agreement, what you're basically doing is a prayer of faith is where you find a promise within God's word that you stand upon that directly speaks or can be applied to your specific situation. And when you do that, you turn around and you get two or more people to stand in agreement with you. But you must be in agreement beforehand. Not focusing on the problem, but focusing on the answer and the desired outcome. And then once you make that prayer of faith or prayer of agreement made before the Lord, when you present your petition before the Lord, those two or more people stay standing in agreement until it has manifested or come to pass, until the answer has manifested or come to pass. The reason why it's important with two or more people is sometimes you might have one person feeling a little down or maybe feeling a little beat up, and that's where your prayer partner comes in to help and encourage you. If you are doing a prayer of agreement with someone and you begin to doubt, now not doubt in your heart, but doubt in your head about whether it's going to happen or it'll be answered, you're to reach out directly to your prayer partner immediately for encouragement. When you reach out to them, it's very important that you don't elaborate on why you're down or don't elaborate on the doubt that's circling within your mind, because you don't want to negatively impact them, and then you both start lining up in agreement on doubt that you don't want to do. What you're simply doing is, as accountability, you're contacting the other person who's praying with you or people, and you simply say, guys, I'm struggling today. I need you to boast me up. I need you to lift me up. Let's do some prayer on this. And let them go ahead and minister to you. And as they minister to you, you'll find that you'll bounce back quickly. Whatever doubt was trying to impede you or trying to jump in your mind is now gone, and you're back on track. Now, also keep in mind that there's a difference between doubting in our minds and doubting in our hearts. There are times that you're going to have thoughts that come in your mind where you may doubt the outcome or doubt whether you're going to receive what you prayed about. But to doubt in your mind is not the same thing as to doubt in your heart. To doubt in your heart means you doubt that the Lord is capable of providing that for you, and that's when you lose the blessing or what you're believing for. To doubt in your mind, you have to deal with it. It's okay if doubt comes in, but you must wash your mind with the Word of God and send it right back out. That being said, if you have a doubt in your mind, don't be concerned that you've lost what you're believing for. It's just a quick moment of doubt, but you refresh yourself on what you're believing for and what you're standing on, and you wash yourself clean by reading the Word of God and hearing the Word of God. It tells us that faith comes by hearing and by hearing the Word of God. And when you do that, that doubt will leave. That doesn't mean you've lost what you're believing for. Now, when we're talking about this, I want to go ahead and read you some scriptures, and we're going to jump right into this on what the prayer of agreement is. Let's go to Matthew 18, verses 18 through 20. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Verse 20, for where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. In this scripture, it gives us a couple different things. The first thing, it talks about binding, binding in heaven and binding on earth. It also talks about how you have the ability to go before the Father, and anything you ask in the name of the Son, in the name of Jesus, he will not deny you. He will give you. In other words, meaning that when you pray, you need to believe that you've received. And if you don't receive, it's because either your prayer doesn't line up with the will of God, you're praying something false, okay, or you're not believing that God is capable of already providing it for you. That's not something he has to provide in the future. It's something he's already done. You may not receive it until the future, but the moment you pray, you believe that he's already provided it for you. When Jesus died on the cross for you 2,000 years ago, that is when it was provided for you. You just have to call it into the now. I'm going to say that again. When Jesus died on the cross for you 2,000 years ago, at that moment, that's where every prayer you'll ever need to pray has been answered. All you need to do is call it into the now. In other words, you need to call it out of the past, and you need to call it in to the present. You need to call it into the now by faith. Now, that being said, when we talk about that, one of the things that we go over is that the other responsibility it said, other than binding, is also said that where two or more of you gather in my name, I shall be in your midst. You know, one of the things we talked about before were the names of God. And one of the names of God I talked about was Jehovah Shema. I am the Lord who's there. When I'm doing the prayer of agreement with someone, I almost always turn around and exalt God as Jehovah Shema, that he's the God who's there over that situation. I am bringing him into remembrance over his word, and then I declare this word that you said, Father, wherever two or more of us gather in your name, there you shall be in the midst. Now, one thing to know, it tells us in the word that you've been given the power to bind in heaven and bind on earth. But I will tell you this, that if you read that scripture carefully, nowhere does it say that God will do the binding. The binding is your responsibility. He has given you the spiritual authority to bind things in heaven and to bind things on earth. But if the devil is running rampant within your life, if the enemy is attacking you rampantly within your life, and you're waiting for God to come down and bind them for you, you're going to be waiting for a while. Not because God's not capable of it, but because that's not God's role, that's your role. He has given you the ability, the authority of the believer to bind things in heaven and to bind things on earth. Now, some people might say, but I'm scared of the devil, or what about the devil? There's no reason to be. I'm going to give you a couple quick scriptures to reinforce what I'm telling you. The first one I want you to turn to is James 4:7. James 4:7 says that, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Some people say, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, saying nothing, shall by any means hurt you. When he talks about giving us the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, those also have spiritual references to the enemy or demonic forces. He's given us authority to trample on them. And it tells us that he's given us power over all the enemy. So, and over all the power of the enemy, meaning that, yeah, the enemy has power, but you've been given more. And your power that you've been given is God's power. And the way you leverage it is with the name of Jesus, and you leverage it over that. If I were teaching on the armor of God, which we've actually taught about before, one of the armor things in armor of God is you have several things of protection, but you have one weapon, and your one weapon's a sword. The sword is the word of God, and that's what that's talking about right there. You've been given power and authority over the power of the enemy, and you've been given authority to trample on scorpions and on serpents. Let's go ahead and keep reading. What I want to read to you next are a couple of scriptures that reinforce the power of agreement. The first one is James 5:14-15. Is any one among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and their prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, in yesterday's teaching on the prayer of petition or prayer of the faith, I was talking about how you have the ability to pray that on your own by finding a scripture in the word that promises your healing and stand in agreement on that with the Lord that you have received your healing. This is a reinforcing prayer. There are four different ways for a person to receive a healing, and although we're not going to go over all of them, the first and main one is by standing on a promise of God, which is what we taught you yesterday with the prayer of petition. The second way is by going to the elders of your church or the pastor of your church and asking them to lay hands on you. And when you turn around and do that, and actually, I'm sorry, I take that back. That's actually the third way. I'll give you all four. So the first way is by standing on scripture and standing on God's promises with the prayer petition that you've received your healing. The second way is going before friends or family members and asking them to stand in agreement with you on those scriptures, which is what we're talking about today, which is the prayer of agreement. A third way is by going to the elders of your church or the pastor of your church and asking them to lay hands on you, which is also a part of the prayer of agreement. And then in addition to that, your fourth way is when you have someone who operates in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and they operate in the gifts of healing, and if God prompts them to you, that they pray over you and release the healing into you. And they don't even have to be in the same city with you or same state. It can be long distance because there's no distance within the spiritual realm within God's kingdom. Now, that being said, this scripture right here reinforces that you can either pray the prayer petition for your own healing, or if you're struggling in the area of faith and you waver at times, then you need to find someone to stand in agreement with you, whether it be a friend or family member or the elders of your church. But these have to be people that remember before you pray, you've already come into agreement, full agreement of what the outcome of that prayer is going to be. Now, the next one I want to read to you is Ecclesiastes 4:9-10. Let's read. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Let's skip down to verse 12. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Some translations talk about it's not easily broken. So here's how you pray a prayer of agreement. The first thing to remember is a prayer of agreement is the same thing as a prayer of faith. You're finding a promise in God's word that you're standing on, and you're turning around, and with the prayer of agreement, you're coming into full agreement for what the outcome is going to be. The one thing I want to caution you on or remind you of is you're not to magnify the problem. Don't tell God about how big your mountain is. Tell your mountain how big your God is. When you pray the prayer of agreement, you are not to talk about the problem or to pray about the problem. You are to pray about the answer. A very quick example of that would be, let's say you're in great financial distress. And great can be different for different people, okay? But let's say you're in great financial distress. Let's say, for example, you fall behind on your home payment, and let's say you're 4 or 5 months behind on it, and you need, let's just say, $6,000 quick. You don't turn around and pray about the problem, about what's going on and that you're getting ready to get foreclosed on or kicked out of your house. You pray about the answer. You turn around and you find a scripture that supports what you're believing for, and that you supports what God said he would do for you, and then you take the prayer to him, and you pray it, and you turn around and are very specific. I've heard Terry Savelle Foy say many times that vague goals produce vague results. I will tell you in leadership, I repeat that often, but I say vague plans produce vague results. Vague communication produces vague results. Okay? A vague prayer will produce a vague result. You need to be specific about what you're believing for. You need to turn around and say that if it's $6,000 you need for to get you caught up, then you need to pray for that. But be mindful. You're going to have a payment coming up the following month. So don't just pray for what you need at that moment. Think about it ahead of time. But here's what you say. But you need to pray based on what your faith can believe for. And your faith will grow at different times, so you'll be able to believe for larger things. But that's why the prayer of agreement is beneficial. Because whoever you're praying with, if they're built up, and you need to ask the Lord who to go to prayer, to ask for prayer of agreement. Because if you find someone who's very built up in healing, but they're not built up in finances, then they can help you with the prayer of agreement, but it may not be as powerful as someone who's very built up in that area. So let the Lord lead you. You know, I heard Keith Moore, my spiritual father in the faith, say one time, "What's the answer to 1,000 questions? Be led." The answer to 1,000 questions is be led by the Holy Spirit. So you turn around, you go get someone, you get an agreement, you specifically say ahead of time what you're believing for and the desired outcome, and then as you do that, you turn around and present the word back to God and his promise, and you're very specific about what you're praying for. And the moment you're done, you believe, you rejoice, and you thank God, and you continually stay in thanks until it's manifested within the natural. Guys, I hope you found today's teaching encouraging. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com or swing by our social media and connect with us on our YouTube channel, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter. If these teachings are feeding you, all I ask is that you turn around and share them with others. Why? Not to magnify me, but let's get this word to others so we can start to help them out. Guys, I want to thank you for turning around and stopping by today. As always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See, you know, one of the things that I share, especially morning worship, is that
yeah.
We want our words of encouragement or victory. And I tell people, don't describe what the devil is doing. Describe what God is doing. Because when you describe what the devil is doing, you're standing on flesh. But if
you describe
what God is doing, you're standing on faith. It's important for us to understand that. Don't tell me I had pain all in my leg or my head and my arms and just pain just radiating through this and that. You know, that's what the devil is doing. Tell me what God is doing. What did you tell God about? Are you standing in faith, believing God for? And we have to learn to say the right stuff.
Amen.
And if you say the right stuff, you're going to get the right result.
Amen.
You keep claiming pain, distress, and agony on you, guess what you're going to have? Pain, distress, and agony on you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But you talk about, I've been healed through Jesus Christ, through his blood. I pray. And he healed, and he raised me up. See, that's faith. Hallelujah, glory to God. You got to believe. And a lot of the scriptures, he uses some of the same scriptures that I use. Mark 11:24. Hallelujah, glory to God. But this is some good teaching because we're learning
how to pray
and what to pray and when to pray. Because often, I hear people say, Jesus, heal me. And that sounds good. But, Father God, in the name of Jesus, heal me right now. Because Jesus said, when you pray, pray to the Father in my name. Because he said, by the Father interceding for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds good. But you got to stand on the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You got to bring him into remembrance what he said. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Any questions or comments about the teachings for today?
So you pray to God in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. A lot of, and it sounds so religious. Oh, Jesus, come and touch my body right now. It sounds religious.
Mm-hmm.
Not scriptural. See, if Jesus was walking in his own suit, he could pray directly to him. He could lay hands on it. You could touch the hem of his garment and everything. And you can be like blind Bartimaeus. He was the son of Timaeus. And he said, Jesus, all I want to know, I want to be able to see. But Jesus left his own suit. But before he left, he said, look here, I'm leaving. But I tell you how to get this done. You pray to the Father in my name, and it shall be done unto you. That's deep.
Mm-hmm.
But see, religious folks say, oh, Lord. But you got to stand on the word of God. I don't care if everybody don't like it. I'm standing on the word of God.
Amen.
I got to say, because I couldn't write what was written. I didn't write it. I came too late to change it. But see, and when I say to folks, please, don't describe what the devil is doing. Describe what God is doing.
Jesus.
Because that's the faith extender. We're gonna get our faith extended by hearing testimonies about what God is doing. We will not get no faith extended by hearing what the devil is doing. Is that right? In fact,
Amen.
It might shoot our faith down. So this teaching is right on, because the most powerful thing you can do is pray to the Father God.
Amen. Thank you, God.
And some folks believe that for the last resort. That should be the first resort.
That's right.
A subtitle, Jesus, call out his name. And he said, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for, and be specific. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give God a smorgasbord and say, you pick one of these, Lord. You be specific as to what you're seeking God for. And I thank God for him sharing. Neil is so cool.
Thomas, do we have another one after this one, Pastor?
No, we don't.
Oh.
And that was all for today. Hallelujah. We have three next week. Hallelujah. But the bottom line is that our words should be uplifting. Faith extended.
Yeah.
And we need to stand on God's word. We need to understand
Amen.
What the petition is, what the prayer of faith is, so that we can go there and let it do what it do.
And so much that is second nature.
That is so true. We when people call and say, you know, I need you to pray for such a, you know what I start doing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't need you to describe going on, because the Holy Spirit knows. Romans 8:26 says, we don't know what we should pray for as we are, but the Holy Spirit does and makes intercession for us.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what was happening to this brother, the football player. I just knew that we needed to pray, and we did that.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Sometimes it's not comfortable to hear what the devil is doing.
That's right.
And sometimes it may be something dealing with female stuff. It's not comfortable, but you say what God is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're standing in faith, believing.
That's right.
Use your prayer language, which you cover.
Amen.
You'll hit a home.
Amen.
And see, we got to grow up. We got to grow up in the Lord. Some of us, it took me 50 years almost to get to where I am now. In fact, to be honest with you, It took 77 years to get where I am now. Glory to God. And look, but he hasn't brought me this far to leave me here.
Amen.
Right.
I'm growing day by day, inch by inch.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Batting up your inner man.
And we have to stand in faith, because the just shall live by what?
Faith.
Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11b. The just shall live by faith. Our words out of our mouth should be faithful words, words full of faith,
mm-hmm.
not fearful words, words full of fear,
mm-hmm.
or words
faith.
Full of flesh. Lord have mercy. Any more comments or questions about what we're sharing? Any scriptures, whatever that you need?
What was the last scripture he gave? Ecclesiastics, what?
A three-strand cord is not easily broken.
I know it's Ecclesiastics 9. Is it 10 to 12 or something?
I can find it in a minute. Hey, Siri, where's the scripture that talks about a three-pronged cord?
Okay, I found it.
I heard him say four.
The scripture that talks about three. Check it out. Power off.
What do you think? Hey, Siri, turn on voiceover. Hey, Siri, where's the scripture that talks about three is better than two?
Okay. I found this in Ecclesiastes
4:9-12. Okay. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Okay.
The two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor.
Okay. And what does 10 say?
It says, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they will have heat, but how can one be warm alone?
Okay. Mm-hmm. 12 is the one that we want to look at.
And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a three-fold cord is not easily broken.
Okay, mm-hmm. So that's Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, and verse 12.
Right. Uh-huh.
All right. Anybody else? Question? Comment?
Well, I'm drunk again. I'm sitting down, but I'm drunk.
Who's that? Excuse me.
Yes.
This stuff is good. And I tell you, it's going to get goodier and goodier.
Gooder and gooder. Gooder and gooder.
Through all of this.
Amen. Nuggets of knowledge.
Power. And then the icing on the cake is that the next semester is going to be completely virtual. Virtual tests, quizzes, and homework, all oral, and no time paper and no time projects. What do you think about that?
Awesome.
That's real. You know, that you're talking about stress relieving. That's stress relieving
yes.
a lot of people.
I think with the knowledge that everyone is receiving, I believe they're going to see a difference in the results of their prayer.
Have to. Because as you know better, you do better.
Right.
And so next week we'll take the next three. Might be next three or four, depending on the time. Hey, Siri, what time is it now? It's 8:19. My goodness, we might be able to do four next week.
Right, because tonight it was like 12 when I said when I interrupted. So I think there would have been enough time for another one, all depending on how many minutes the next one would have been.
Yeah, so we may be able to do four more next week.
I'm trying to see, when was the second session start? Next session?
February. I'm not sure that
first
date
Tuesday.
Is.
It's the first Tuesday in February.
Yes, that's gonna be real good, and we'll still have the packages for people who register for that course, and you could actually get. We're gonna have to limit because it might be 20, 30 people want to sign up now that it's not everything gonna be virtual. They have to turn in no papers, don't do no term papers, no term projects and stuff. So we're going to have to limit it to how many people. People need to register.
The time is 7.
At least call Pastor Peaches and let her know that you want to put your name down to register for the next semester. So that's a blessing.
And the time, Sister Peaches?
7
to Phil.
8:30, the same time.
Oh, okay.
It's the same time, and we're gonna be dealing with three classes, the one class, of course, is growing towards spiritual maturity. That's it's gonna be 9 weeks, and that's gonna be 9 week class, and then we're gonna deal with the history of the English Bible, and that's going to be 5 weeks. And then we're going to continue with Know Your Bible. That's going to be 4 weeks. So we have still three classes, but again, no term papers, no term projects. All assignments are going to be oral, and nothing needs to be turned in. So that may help some folks who have a problem with getting things in and whatever. And one of the things we're going to be doing, of course, if they're new students, we're going to be giving them some extra stuff because they got to have the textbook Growing Towards Spiritual Maturity. They got to have Know Your Bible, and they're going to have, we could also, the Strong's Concordance, and hopefully if they already have a Message Bible or Amplified, that's good. But if they need, okay, we're going to also be giving out a Schofield large print study Bible. So that's going to be in the package for the next semester. So it's going to be a big package for those first time in the school. But those that have been in the class before and they have several of the books already, all they'll be needing is the Schofield and maybe a composition notebook for the new class. The old classes, the Know Your Bible and Going Towards Spiritual Maturity, you have composition notebooks that pick up where you left off in your composition notebook. You won't need a new composition notebook for that class.
Mm-hmm.
Just continue. And we
thank God. 49 hours, right?
That's all, yes. Which is a tremendous blessing. Jesus, Lord have mercy. But anyway, we thank God for what he's done and what he's doing. And this will encourage maybe talk to Adrian because we haven't heard him lately, and all the others. And I know Prophet Cynthia works in the evening, so I don't know if that's going to change or not. But praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We definitely love to have others get involved. What's Evangelist Gamble? Is that her name? Lorraine Gamble?
Pastor? Yes.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Hopefully, maybe she might want to get involved in our teaching. Because it's good. If y'all don't think it's good, it's good for me because I learn, as we all learn. It's not just for y'all, it's for me too, you know.
And I'm shopping darn.
That's right. We grow as we grow. And we hallelujah. It's just a blessing. So I thank God for all of y'all that have been consistent. And consistency, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. Consistency,
that's right,
means that every week you show up. But more so than not, you show up. And also, this is opening the door for people who said, well, they couldn't be in the class because they couldn't get their papers in and stuff because they had nobody to deliver. But guess what? Ain't no papers in the next semester. Everything is virtual. All the tests,
quizzes,
and home assignments are oral. We will be asking. So that's going to be a blessing. A lot of folks, and we'll see if they still flow, because growing towards spiritual maturity is a plus for our Christian walk. It's not.
Yes, it is.
You can do it, not. If you want to grow, you got to put up the effort. And if you don't want to grow, you want to stay in your comfort zone, then we understand that. But see, in your comfort zone, you get a blessing. Mm. But in the God zone, you become the blessing.
Blessing.
You become a fulfillment center. Mm. I caught that today. I was hearing somebody talk about, you know, like Amazon, they had put all these fulfillment centers all over the place. Every born again, baptized, Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking, demon destroying, guardian of the altar, warrior of the word, ought to be a fulfillment center. In other
words,
to be a blessing. There to be a blessing. People need to look for a blessing. We are a fulfillment center with a blessing of the Lord. And God is teaching us how the blessing of the Lord can be yay and amen. Got to be hooked up with God. In Jesus' name, y'all. I mean, God,
well,
he's just blowing my mind. I don't know about y'all, but you know,
yes.
My mind, all this
but
stuff.
You know, the Bible Institute, you know, you gave us the menu. We had the main meal. We didn't know we were going to get a doggy bag and dessert.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's not because I'm doing it because the Holy Ghost is doing this thing. I have never been in a Bible study that has been doing what we do. And I don't give any credit to me. I give credit to the Holy Spirit for the leading God.
It's deep and wide.
A biblical learning. Anybody. I mean, biblical learning. Why didn't you call it biblical study? Because the Bible's not about study. No, but we want people to learn. We don't just want them to study. We want them to learn. So we've been speaking prophetically. The Institute of Biblical Learning, prophetically, you're going to learn. And a lot of folks have learned through what we've done. They're not the same that they were when they started. They know more now than they ever did. I know more than I ever did. Look here. 2 years ago, if you asked me how many books in the Bible, I have to say, I think it's 66. I'm not. You know, or how many verses in the Bible? I don't even get there. You know, so why do you want to know all of that? Why not?
know, people used to look at Christians and make you feel like you were Aunt Jemima with a degree sometime or just in the backwoods, but you can actually come out your mouth sounding educated in the foundational principles of Christ and hold your head up high and knowing that you know what they don't know. At least you sound educated anyway, because you know, like you said, some of the basic stuff that you taught us, you sound educated, but it makes you feel like, you know, I've really got hold of something here, the foundations of what I believe in and what I'm, you know, living for. And we make God proud because we make him look good, because he make us look good here on earth.
Because
as we go and minister to others.
Yes. We go the extra mile. Someone said, oh, don't take all that. Well, I didn't say it took all that. I just said, I know that there are 929 chapters in the Old Testament and 260 in the New. I just want to go the extra mile to show God, I love you, and I just want to know all about your word. And when we talk about the King James Version Bible, and that every page is soaked in the blood of martyrs, they went the extra mile. Jesus, Lord. This is just a little thing. That's why, you know, I know y'all say, why does he do that all the time? A lot of times I give scriptures, I give the addresses afterwards. Even though I'm saying something, I give the addresses. So why does he do that? I never heard a preacher do that all the time. Well, I don't know. I haven't heard every preacher in the world. So I know that probably might be like Elijah and Jeremiah, all of them. We've been probably, Elijah's, I'm the only one left. There's probably 10,000 preachers out in the world that are doing the same thing I'm doing, saying the same thing I'm saying. But I just want to go the extra mile for Christ.
He's perfect.
What you say. Everything you say out of your mouth is a boomerang. It could come back to you, but it could come back to you multiplied. So if you say the word of God, it could come back to you multiplied, because the word of God is what? The Bible says the word of God is seed. It's a kind of the humble.
Amen.
And I get it. When I think about what God is allowing me to learn, because I understand the five levels of knowledge. Good. Learned knowledge, revealed knowledge. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Activity knowledge, modeling knowledge, and teaching knowledge. I thank God for allowing me to know that and to flow with that, to understand it and to flow. I thank God for him to allow me to understand the seven pillars of wisdom. Hallelujah. Coachable, teachable spirit. A burning desire to please God and be excellent. A willingness to work and go the extra mile. A heart of integrity and honesty. A loving heart. A forgiving heart. And a giving heart. All that in a bag of chips is a blessing to me.
Hallelujah.
God bless.
In his word, he says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge.
And all this is doing is fortifying us so that we are educated in him.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so that was, not, you know what it does too? It gives us confidence. I know in whom I believe. I know what he said. I know how many. Can you imagine? You know how many verses in the King James Bible? 31,102 verses in the King James Bible. That's deep, y'all. 28,145 in the Old Testament. They should have got it out. Head to Moshakalala. 29:57 in the New Testament. I hope that's right. I think it is. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
I keep saying this stuff so I can keep it on my mind. Hallelujah. But y'all, I'm proud of you. God's proud of you. And look, God, I believe Jesus is tapping the Father God on the shoulder. They're mine. And God smiling to yes. They're yours. But, son, they're mine too. Hallelujah. All minds clear?
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Amen. I guess I recommend strongly that y'all get on the list for the for the next class, because we're going to have to cut it off, because I know it's going to be a whole bunch of folks jumping on it. So you call Pastor Peaches at 443-416-1201 and let them know that you want to be in the next class. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's going to be an easier sailing this class. No term paper, no term projects, no home assignments and quizzes and tests to turn in. Hallelujah. And guess what? It's less work for me, too. Hallelujah.
Yes.
God knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. Well, Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for what we've heard on today. We thank you, Lord, for the new series that we've started. Hallelujah. The types of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for opening up our eyes of our understanding, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that we have a coachable, teachable spirit and a burning desire to please you and be excellent. So we thank you, oh God, for your revelation, wisdom, and knowledge that you bursting forth in our hearts. We thank God for, hallelujah, the team, hallelujah, the teacher, and hallelujah, the assistant, oh God. We thank you for every classmate, hallelujah, every family representative, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that you're meeting the needs of everybody in hallelujah, glory to God, to utmost degree, oh God, and then giving them super abundantly above in Jesus' name. And we praise your name and we magnify your name in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Have a blessed evening, y'all, and just noising around what's going on and what the next semester, because we want to fill that up, but then you're going to have to close it off after a while. But we want folks to definitely sign up for the next semester. It's going to be a mind-blowing experience, especially
the Lord
of the English Bible. You're going to go into details on that. Hallelujah. God bless you. Have a blessed rest of your night. And remember this. God loves you. We love you, too. Nothing you can do about it. Good night. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
In the morning.
Jesus is Lord.
Yeah, Jesus is Lord. Yes. Hallelujah.